Should I start you or Julio this week? I think I'm leaning towards Julio.
Julio?
He's got a good matchup.
We're teammates.
It's nothing personal. It's just if I win this game, I make it to the playoffs.
Now Barkley up the middle, cuts to the outside. Saquon Barkley across midfield, down the sideline, stayed in bounds, and Barkley takes it all the way.
They're on the move, second down. Ryan going for it, looking for Julio. Downs! He ties! Touchdown!
Manning on the slant.
Pressure now on Mahomes. He's in trouble. Now gets it away. Are you kidding me?
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Hub. I'm Scott Edwards.
I'm Scott Neville. All right, we're going to jump right into the news. Week one. We haven't even talked about this. Antonio Brown.
Yeah, we missed on the whole story, but well, that's not our fault.
It just happened.
Kind of.
Saturday.
It was a long process.
Well, there was but Antonio Brown is on the Patriots, and now we have to talk about how that factors into the rest of the team and
all that garbage. It's crazy. It's a lot there.
Yeah.
Because we did this for luck, and I think Antonio Brown does even more.
Did you hear
in
what
a
Bel-
positive way?
Did you hear what Belichick said?
Yeah.
He said he thinks he'll help our team.
Yeah. Sounds cool. Like Bill.
Yeah.
Sounds like Bill. I didn't expect any less.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been weird if he had carried on.
If he was like, help our team and maybe win a game. That would have been rattling.
Yeah, we'll put him in if we think he's...
Like Tom Brady said they played a horrible game the other day.
I find it quite funny.
Yeah. He's like, I need to be better. I was like, don't think you can be, but cool. Anyways, okay, so what this does for the New England Patriots fantasy-wise.
Okay, can we talk about... here's the thing. Antonio Brown's value, I think it's about the same.
I think it's possibly even better.
What I will say is, like, people are like, like Edelman and everything.
Yeah.
My thing is, I actually think now with this offense, and, like, I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but this could be, like, a Chiefs of last year, 2007 Patriots type, where it's like...
Everyone gets stuff.
You were scoring so much, mm-hmm. and especially where there is no tight end, I think Brown, Gordon... And Edelman could all produce. But I think it's very clear that Gordon is going to be the one that takes the
Base absolutely. So I think Edelman stays a wide receiver two. He's not a low wide receiver one like people projected him before the season.
Right.
And AB's still a wide receiver one. Maybe a high wide receiver two. Like that. Those two are still locked in. Edelman's Tom Brady's favorite guy.
I don't think Edelman's value changes.
No. I would tamper your expectations for AB the first week or two.
Sure.
Because he has to get used to the system. I mean, you're going to play AB.
Yeah, you're going to have to.
But I'm just saying, like, don't expect him to just drop, like, 30 right out of the gate. Even though he's playing Miami, so, like, it's possible he could just go deep every time. Anyways, Josh Gordon, he becomes a flex, maybe even less, maybe just a good bench player. He's a very talented guy, but he's pretty much their tight end.
Yeah, so that's the thing, and that's why I think he could still have value.
Yeah.
I was looking, by the way, on the Edelman thing. I was looking back at the 2007 Patriots just to see what happened, because I knew that Welker had dominated, but I just wanted to know, because they played the exact same role.
Right.
Hit 111 receptions. So,
yeah, good.
And he was fine. He had 8 touchdowns, too.
Right, right.
So he'll be just fine.
You know who I think does get helped here? Sony Michel. I think they will pack the box even less now. I mean, he didn't do good against the Steelers. That's fine. But that game went, he didn't need to.
It was a Burkhead game, and that's why it's tough to have a Patriots running back.
Unless it's James White, because James White's always in the offense.
But you could never have guessed that it was going to be why would it have been a Rex Burkhead game?
Right, because no one preps for that.
I mean, this isn't the Dolphins that we're just getting.
This is why I think Sony's fine, because, like, he gets Miami this week. I think he's going to get right back on track.
Yeah.
That could be, like, a 30-point game, honestly. Like, that's going to be destruction in Miami. And if it's not, I'm probably just going to jump off a bridge, but that's besides the point.
I mean, the Ravens, with their offense, who have one receiver who we'll talk about soon,
played
14 snaps,
Willie Snead did catch a touchdown, but it's not him.
Yeah.
Just putting that out there.
They dominated quite easily.
And they're not nearly as good as the Patriots.
No.
On either side.
Yep.
Otherwise for AB, Tom Brady's now a QB1 firm.
Oh, yeah.
Right, top five, debatably, I think.
Dude, top five. I mean, he was like a two or a three 2 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
Just slide him right back in there.
Yeah, I think Mahomes is the clear person over him still, and that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Watson is in that combo.
Yeah, Watson's very good.
Yeah. So, anyway, also, another part of the news, Tyreek Hill has a shoulder injury. We don't know how long it's going to last, but Sammy Watkins randomly told us that it would be 6 to 7 weeks. He said, I think he has an intricate part. We're going to have to find a way to win in the next 6-7 weeks with him being out. And so he was talking about how that would factor into the team, but he let it slip that it was going to be 6-7 weeks.
Think they'll be okay.
Yeah.
Like, when he gets back, that's going to be great for, like, Mahomes owners and, of course, Tyreek Hill owners.
And the Chiefs as a team, obviously. Right.
Well, yeah, but we don't talk about real football. No. This is fantasy football. No. I don't care how their success goes. But what this gives a chance for is other guys to step up. Yeah. I think now Damian Williams and LeSean McCoy carry fantasy value together.
Yep.
I think Williams keeps his value, especially with being a good pass catcher.
I think Watkins becomes a top 15.
Oh, receiver. Absolutely. That just proved this week. Yeah. He went off.
I don't think he's going to – I mean, I know he's not going to do what he just did today or yesterday, but I think he'll be a quality
and
top
I think you'll receiver. Be really happy to be a Travis Kelce owner. Like, even more happier than usual. Like, yeah. I think he the way the game went the other day, he didn't need to do a lot.
He still got, like, 10 points.
Yeah, which I take out of my tight end every single week if possible.
I mean, obviously, with him, you're hoping for a little more because you obviously did bite that second-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
But
Kelce was the only tight end worth the second-round pick. BT Dubs.
I mean, I like Kittle, but
I still don't think it's worth the second-round pick. Yeah. Yeah, so Tyreek's out. We'll talk about his possible replacement later. Darius Geis.
Yeah.
Out a few weeks.
Yeah, all we heard was out a few weeks.
This was really shocking because it just was after the game. They're like, yeah, he's hurt. I was like,
It's a meniscus thing. Thing probably is not the right word. I'll go with injury.
I like thing better. But we're not going to say injury anymore. Shoulder thing.
Yeah. I mean.
ACL thing. There we go.
Yeah,
that's better.
You could pull LeBron and say he basically broke his knee. It was pretty much broken.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, sure.
Yeah, we'll throw in Chris Thompson because I think people are going to freak out and grab Peterson, but I think Chris Thompson's the guy you're going to want because, I mean, a lot of negative game scripts that are going to be trailing.
Absolutely.
Majority of this season.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when they roll out Chris Thompson and just try and get some dumb passing game.
I don't know what a few weeks is going to turn out to be with Geis.
Right.
Because he's had.
Especially with the knee.
Right.
It is his other knee. That is worth noting.
So I think Thompson definitely should be the first add if you're going to add a Redskins backfield. If you're in a 12-man league, I mean, taking a shot at AP is not crazy.
No.
At all. Because I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably rostered. And I don't
he had 1,000 yards last year. It's not like he's dead.
Right. But I don't think they're going to be as good as they were last year.
Right. Thompson's one of my favorite waiver wire pickups this week.
Right.
Like,
if you needed a running back, that's probably one of the guys you go for. It's a flex play. It's a deep league play. I mean, if you're really struggling, maybe you had Geis and now you don't have a starting running back that was maybe your flex guy.
This I'm might sorry if you had Geis starting, but yeah.
But I mean, even if you have him on your team.
Right.
Obviously, I think Chris Thompson. And you have to get another.
Yeah, Chris Thompson's a must add.
Right.
This one hurt me because he was doing really good. Like, just I like Tevin Coleman.
Yeah,
and he got a high ankle sprain. He was doing really well in that offense. Mm-hmm. He was the main pass catcher. They let Breida do terrible running. That's whatever. He's gonna be out. So he's already declared out this week.
Yeah.
Then he's day to day.
So here's the thing. They put out a 2 to 6 week timetable, and that's because high ankle sprains. It totally depends on the person, on the injury. Like there are injuries that are pretty predictable, and then there's stuff like this. A high ankle sprain, he could tough through it in 2 weeks, or it might take him 6. Like, and I think it could even go longer. An ankle sprain is just one of those things where you kind of just have to wake up and feel it. Mm-hmm. There's no real there's no test to figure out how long this is gonna take. So, Right now, he's out. He's going to be out for an extended period of time. I know you said Matt Breida struggled, but I think he's the most talented back. He was very
good last year. He's definitely the most talented back.
And so I think if you have Matt Breida, you should be thrilled, and he is now a flex play, in my opinion.
Yeah, he doesn't go much higher because Shanahan loves to use other backs. That's just the thing he does. Right. He likes to use multiple, but usually when he uses multiple, they're still fantasy relevant. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely if you're a Breida owner, also, consider him in the flex.
They get the Bengals next week, so.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Well, the Bengals didn't do that bad.
No, but they were, I mean, they were facing the reinvented, whatever you want to steal, Seahawks.
Seahawks, yeah.
So, I mean, they're not
exactly. I mean, they're not great defense. Yeah, I would roll Breida out there for a flex start.
Yeah.
And then finally, Mixon's hurt, but he should be able to play this week.
Yeah, Max will miss one game, I think, from this one. Gio Bernard's interesting. I'm not, like, here's the thing. That's something where it might be worth a flyer, I think, in week six. But there are so many guys week one that you just go, oh, wow, everybody was wrong about that guy.
Right.
And, yes, obviously, overreactions are the thing. It's impossible not to overreact to week one.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like.
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. But. He gets, I believe, what, the Giants next week?
Maybe. I don't know.
Wait, hold on.
Can't just be asking me questions off the cuff with no schedule in my face.
I forget who he faces. I know they stink. Cardinals, sorry. Even better. Yeah. So you can play him. We usually say don't chase the points. You can chase those points. He'll be just fine next week.
Well, the Cardinals did good on defense. Wait, well, Lamar. Never mind.
Yeah.
They did good on run defense, not pass at all. They don't have Patrick Peterson.
They don't have Patrick Peterson.
That's not great.
I forget who was. I'm blanking on the name, but the guy that came to replace him like got hurt and is missing like half the season too.
Yeah, that's not good.
So they're dealing with like Byron Murphy, the rookie, as like their number one.
I like Byron Murphy, not as the number one corner.
I like him in college. Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't put him out there as your lockdown corner.
No.
All right, so we have a lot of segments today. We're going to get into our fantasy MVP prediction after week one. We're obviously going to talk about the waiver wire. That's the most important news. Yep. We're going to talk about our league of record, starts of the week for week two, and then we're going to talk a little bit about trades and cuts. But let's start off. Who do you think your MVP is following week one, two? Basically, who's going to be on the most rostered player on the championship teams this year?
So, I've had a few thoughts. Originally, before the season even started, my first thought was Kerryon Johnson. I'm still, like, riding that, mm-hmm. I think. One game doesn't prove anything to me. Like, and that game script was a weird one between the Lions and Cardinals.
It was like they were winning easily and they were just running the clock out, and then all of a sudden it was tied.
Right. So, Kerryon's still in the question, but my number one choice here is Evan Engram, because he's a guy that was picked in the 6th, 7th round in mm-hmm. most drafts, and he is now entering, I believe, that top three territory.
Right.
That proved week one. It doesn't matter what the score is. Evan Engram is going to be fed in this offense.
Well, that's the thing is, that offense is, it's just Saquon and Engram and then a bunch of clowns around him.
Like, right.
There is no other viable options to give the ball to. They're the only two that can make plays with the ball in their hand. And he's the only one that's a non-running back that can actually get open consistently.
Absolutely.
So he will have consistent value throughout the game. You know, they pass a decent amount, and he is going to be the most open on every play.
Yeah. His yards of separation last year were first in the league. And if he can keep that, that was last year, of course. But one game, 11 catches, 116 yards, and a touchdown. I'm not really worried about having him as my tight end. I'm actually would be very happy. And if he's on a lot of championship teams, it's because he's putting up 20 a week, I think, which is very possible for him.
Right. And, okay, so I'm not going to lie. Like, when I think of an MVP, I think of somebody that was drafted super late and absolutely dominated.
He was not late.
Who?
Chris Carson was
on. I was getting to that.
Oh.
But I can't, at this point, define, like, the Odell Beckham of this year.
Yeah, that takes a few weeks.
Right. So, I'm just going to say Chris Carson. I think Chris Carson was drafted lower than he should have, and I think he proved this week that it is not a split backfield, and I never thought it was going to be. I still think Rashad Penny still should be rostered, because especially if you have Chris Carson,
yep.
because it's almost like the Steelers, where if Chris Carson goes down, Rashad Penny will get all of the work.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah. he still has value, especially because Chris Carson is an injury-prone player.
He is.
Which any running back that gets that many carries will be. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Chris Carson for now, but I do think, you know, it's going to be a flyer or a just
yeah, guy absolutely.
That was drafted late. Like,
oh, yeah, no doubt.
It's something that has
well, that's how it works, but yeah. Guessing off week one and how right. volume I mean, looked and how yeah. players looked.
I could have said someone like Devin Singletary, but like...
I could have said really Christian McCaffrey and been really boring.
Yeah, but you typically those guys are supposed to produce. So
yeah, like, yeah. Singletary is filthy, by the way.
Just yeah. putting that out there.
All right, this is the big part.
This is the part that you click on these shows for. It's the waiver wire pickups. This is actually the part that's going to help you the most. Mm. Although, there's a couple segments down... Actually, the rest of the show, I'm pretty confident, will help you.
But absolutely.
Especially when we talk about trade stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll explain some personal experiences here today.
Yes.
I've gotten multiple trade offers today from teams tilting, and we'll go over those. But, so Chris Thompson, right off the rip, we already talked about it. He's owned in 18.9% of leagues. We're going by ESPN just because it was easier for us. You get a 1-5 shot of him being available. Now, I'm not going to lie. If you have a good running back like core, you don't need Chris Thompson.
No.
This was, like we said, for somebody that maybe lost a guy like Darius Geis. Maybe you had Joe Mixon. You're not really sure. You need a flex running back. If you drafted a wide receiver-heavy team and you feel like you need another running back,
he would
be a serviceable flex. But the thing is, this isn't a guy you put on your bench to, you know, become a stud in your lineup.
Like, you know what he's going to give you.
Exactly. So you're not drafting a Hollywood Brown expecting him to get, you know, 30 points a week, hoping he can end up as a running back one, you know?
That's
a weird comparison.
I get what you mean, though. Like, Thompson has proven in the past 2 years he can be a good PPR type back.
Right.
He's a pass catcher. He'll give you between 10 and 12 on most weeks. Sometimes he has a touchdown in there, so it makes it a bigger week. But like you said, he's not a guy if you have a lot of running backs you need. But again, if you went wide receiver heavy, this is week one. He's definitely worth a pickup because we don't know how long Geis is going to be out. And I think Thompson's role is defined in that.
Absolutely.
As well, because Geis can't catch.
Yeah, like we said, he's going to be in a lot of negative game scripts, so he should be
out
there.
Oh, big time.
Okay, so the next one is Malcolm Brown.
You called this.
Yeah.
You called this on one of our first two shows.
Yeah, I think it was a mock draft. I've always been of the belief that it was going to be Malcolm Brown over Darrell Henderson.
Question.
Especially, yeah.
Did you draft Darrell Henderson in a league?
I did, yeah.
It's tough.
Here's the thing.
It's the way of the road.
I drafted him late. I didn't draft him where he was supposed to go. And there's no need to draft Malcolm Brown when you know this is going to happen. So I honestly, like, I don't draft a trade, but I figured he just had more value at the point in the draft, and I thought people would have more interest. I ended up cutting him. I don't have him right now.
Good. Good.
I actually cut him before.
He's useless.
Right. Yeah, I picked up. So somebody dropped Josh Allen, and I had.
Oh, there you go.
That was the league I drafted Andrew Luck because the league was.
Yeah,
a week
that's
early.
Tough. That's tough.
Yeah. So, but I was able to end up with Stafford and Josh Allen, so I'm very happy with that.
Yeah, I'd take that. Yeah, fill in each week.
Stafford. Okay. So. Yeah, but anyway, Malcolm Brown, he's getting split carries. It was kind of weird. They used Malcolm Brown first, and then they had Todd Gurley as like a closer. It was
Gurley did really well too, which was really confusing. I was like,
well,
so he is on a pitch count.
So here's what I think is going to happen for the rest of the season. I'm not saying this game dictated the rest of the season, but I think what Sean McVay wants to do is give Todd Gurley like 50% of the carries. But I think Todd Gurley physically is 100%.
Yeah,
as far as like. His knee is easily injury prone, but he's not like people were like he might not even be as fast. Like it was big news when he ran like a 40 that was decent, and like he was like people were saying he lost a step, and it's like he's like 24.
No, this guy still flies.
Yeah, he's at like Todd Gurley is fine. It's just he's like you said he's on a pitch count. Malcolm Brown is on the other side of that pitch count. But what I was saying about Darrell Henderson is. Yeah, it wasn't looking. I thought it would be Malcolm Brown because you forget that like, all the fans want to see the rookies, but the coaches tend to like the veterans more. That's just how it works.
Absolutely.
Mike Davis got a ton of run this week, and for the Bears
he did.
He's a veteran. And what the thing is, Henderson had a horrible preseason. I mean, he was like 2 a carry. He was terrible. He showed nothing on the field.
He stinks.
He's
say it right.
No, I don't want to throw that on him now.
He stank.
He was bad, yeah.
Yes.
But I don't think he's necessarily... But he did nothing to prove that he deserves carries at this point.
I don't think he has any fantasy value right now.
Right.
Or maybe if Malcolm Brown stays healthy, really, the rest of the season, because he looked good.
Right. And I've always said, I think Malcolm Brown's a fine running back, and in that system, he'll be... I mean, CJ Anderson dominated.
People forget. This is what they were going towards last year. This is why Gurley got hurt.
Yeah, and this is the combination.
Right, because Malcolm Brown... was starting to get carries and touchdowns, and
before he got
he was
hurt.
Showing signs.
Right.
He got hurt. That made Gurley literally take on 30 touches a game.
And then they ended up getting C.J. Anderson. But C.J. Anderson isn't on the Rams if Malcolm Brown stays healthy. That's
and Gurley was also breaking down.
Right.
Like, that's what had to happen. Like, if with Malcolm Brown there, Gurley is now a fine RB2, I think, the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And Malcolm Brown is a good bench player. Who, honestly, depending on matchup, could fill in once in a while for you on the flex.
Malcolm Brown?
Yeah.
I think he's going to get overstarted today or next week
because
he got the touchdown work.
Yep.
If he continues to get the goal line work, he has immense value, but I just think that was kind of like...
I think that's just how the game went.
Right, exactly. And so I don't think he's like the goal line back or anything.
Right,
I definitely think Gurley is probably the best back in the league at that. But, yeah, so... I think Malcolm Brown's a flex play right now, but I think you need to temper your expectations.
Right, and if you're a Gurley owner, you need to get him now.
Right.
ASAP.
I mean, I do think, though, if Gurley goes down, it would kind of... I almost think Malcolm Brown's value would not change that much.
I think he would get more carries, but I think Henderson would take on the receiving.
Right, yeah.
Even though Malcolm Brown does have some receiving traps, right. Like, that's not a bad thing. Moving on. It's probably the guy everyone's waiting for on this damn list. Hollywood Brown, we know what he did.
Right.
Two touchdowns in two plays. Like, his first two catches were touchdowns, and they were big touchdowns. They weren't just like...
130 yards.
Yeah, first two absurd. Catches. Had four total catches, played 14 snaps.
Yeah.
When he was on the field, he was doing stuff.
He was pretty good.
So, like, and I understand the 14 snaps when you, like, scare people. But he's coming back from a tough injury. That's why, like, his draft stock was falling.
He's
a little.
Also a rookie. Like, he's a first round pick. Like,
right.
Don't worry about that.
Absolutely.
Not liking him. And he also proved on the field that he was the best receiver in Baltimore.
Oh, by far. The man flies.
Yeah.
And I think the reason he played 14 snaps is also because of how the game went. They didn't need to play him.
Right.
Like, he did whatever he had to do. And he was like, oh, well.
Right, because he scored early.
I was like, well, we're winning 30-0. We don't need him.
He didn't even get those 14 snaps.
It was like the first quarter. Right, it was like the first quarter.
So, I mean, that's the thing. His workload will go up. He's 18% of the snaps is obviously not ideal. But they will, I think that will jump up next week and continue to grow. Would you start him next week?
No. I'd give it one more week.
So,
but I would definitely pick him up. I think he has immense value long term.
He is facing the Cardinals, and they do not have a good secondary. I might throw him out there in the flex. I was on board, and here's the thing. If they were facing the Titans or the Chargers, just an average team, I would say hold off. The Cardinals?
It depends on who your flex options are.
True.
If you have, like, Chris Godwin at your flex or someone like that, I'm not benching them.
That's a good point.
But if you're... like, changing between, like...
Matt Breida and that range.
Right, Matt Breida, him.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's Matt...
Malcolm Brown.
Yeah, I mean, if you have Malcolm Brown, you're in a deep league. That's fair. But I think Hollywood could do so much next week if you do play him, because he's playing the Cardinals, like you said. I am going to temper my expectations for one more week.
Yeah.
But that's not going to stop me from picking him up. He probably will be the hottest waiver wire pickup of the week.
Oh, he 100% will be the
And
hottest.
He should be, because he's is there, a dynamic player.
I do think people are going to overreact and expect way too much, but I think he's an electric player. I think one thing that the trend is on this one is I think it's very easy to tell. It's speed kills. You know?
Yeah.
If you think about the people that are on the waiver wire, the people that dominated this week, we're looking at Sammy Watkins. John Ross literally broke the 40-yard dash record.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the people that are dominating.
Yeah, I mean, like, as you asked, does he play this week for me? Again, if I have, even it's someone like the Tyler Boyd range, I might consider playing him. Tyler Boyd's good. He's going to get a lot of targets.
Mm-hmm.
But the big playability of Malcolm Brown against a team like the Cardinals is very tempting.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, moving on. John Brown. Literally, he has...
all the Browns played well except for Cleveland. We know that.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. That's not very nice.
Well...
It's true, though. Like, yeah. Every single Brown that you could have had in fantasy was not
except
good.
Anyone on the Cleveland Browns, yeah. So, okay, we'll talk about John Brown real quick. He got, what was it, 600 targets?
Did you say 600?
Yeah, I think that's what I saw. Or 10?
I don't think it was 600.
Was it not 600?
It might have been like 550.
I'm pretty sure it was 10 targets, but I can double check that.
Yeah, well, he had 7 catches, 130 yards and a touchdown. Maybe wrong.
John Brown.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe I couldn't think of the last. Okay, you have to do the last name first.
Oh, yeah, 7 catches, 130 yards and a touchdown.
Why is Jerron coming up before?
Come on, man.
Dude, it's not my fault. They do it backwards. It's 7 for 123 and a touchdown. And, yeah, it looks like 10 targets.
Yeah, so people were saying going into the season that you should know Josh Allen has a very good arm. That's what he has. But it's not an accurate arm, very good arm. And what John Brown does is, once again, speed kills.
Right.
That's what John Brown's had going for him his entire career. He's been in the league for actually a very long time, it feels like.
He's been in the Cardinals for 15 years.
Yeah.
He actually was drafted the same class as Larry Fitz. Yeah.
John Brown, 35.3% on ESPN. He's going to he's going to be the number one target in Buffalo because Cole Beasley's boring.
I'll say the only target, yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind picking up John Brown. I feel like this happens like every year that he ends up getting picked up by someone.
It's just one of those ones where it's not like it doesn't have that Marquise Brown like
attractiveness. Right. I was going to say it's not a sexy pickup, but it's a pickup you need to make.
Right. And that, like you said, that could be a very dangerous combination.
Much like Jamison Crowder in some leagues. I mean, I know he's owned a lot already.
Right.
But, like, he's not a sexy pickup, but he's going to be good.
Yeah, solid. And, you know, honestly, John Brown, even though he's not, like, a popular name because he wasn't this, like, highly touted prospect, he's not a rookie. Been in the league for a long time, not really done a whole lot. But he is a deep field threat. So, like, just because he's not, like, a super attractive pick doesn't mean he can't drop, like, 12 points on one play.
He had value last year with Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
That tells you all you need to know.
Okay, so let's move on to John Ross. Going from John Brown. Now it's John Ross.
Brown.
John Ross. How do we feel? He's owned in 4.8% of leagues. How do you feel about John Ross?
I'm a lot less on the wagon than the other three receivers.
So here's the thing, is he had a huge day.
Or are the two?
He would have had a lot bigger of a day if he didn't drop a few passes.
Yeah.
His hands are so bad.
Hands bad. Andy Dalton, not great.
Great week, though.
Great.
400 yards.
Well, the thing about John Ross is I want to like him. I want to love him. I want to believe in him. But people are going to be looking at his numbers and Mark and Hollywood's numbers. Right. They're not the same thing. Hollywood is a game-changing player who can catch the ball.
So here's why I think John Ross, you can pick up John Ross, though.
Oh, you could definitely pick him up. But I'm just saying I'm not as high on him.
But here's why I think it's an option, is because he had 12 targets. Yeah, we got 7 of them.
Yes, him and Boyd were tied.
Yeah, so if they both get, if he gets 12 targets every week, he's going to have weekly value.
Until AJ Green comes back.
Of course, yeah. Well, no, because, if he got 12 targets and still have value, he just won't get 12 targets when AJ Green comes back.
All right, he's the big play guy that's finally proving it 2 years later. He's a post-type sleeper, like to say. Yeah, he is Ted Ginn. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Ted Ginn started off pretty crappy, too, and look at him now. He's still playing.
Yep.
But, yeah, he's definitely worth a pickup if you miss out on Hollywood or John.
If you're in one of those leagues where you can cut the same player.
Right.
So you can send, say you have, for a fact you want to cut Daryl Henderson. You throw out 4 guys for Daryl Henderson, and you can order them.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy you throw in, probably 3 or 4. I would absolutely do that. I think he's one of those guys that, if you miss out on Hollywood, you miss out on, we'll go with Mecole Hardman, then I think that's the guy you throw in.
Taking my steals here.
Well, we're about to get to it now.
Yeah. Yeah, but Ross is worth the pickup. It's just a matter of, do you believe in him yet?
Yeah.
One week doesn't give it to me. Give me a second week, but I will definitely pick him.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, Mecole Hardman, this is just based totally on what offense he's in.
It's not even that, though. It's his speed.
Yes.
Here's the thing.
Speed kills.
He has the opportunity.
That's what we should have just named waiver wire pickups. Oh, yeah. Speed kills.
And then we just talk about Malcolm Brown and be like, sorry, it's an exception. All right, but.
And Chris Thompson.
And Terry McCoy, whatever.
Right. He's fast.
Mecole Hardman.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy can fly.
Oh, yeah.
The thing, I think that the difference is, like, yeah, there's an opportunity on a high-powered offense. You obviously want that.
Yeah.
So, like, he would be serviceable. He's a pickup just for that reason alone. But if you watch that man play, he is actually good at football.
Like, yes, he's a talented guy.
He's
not
just one of those guys that's like, he's going to get the work and he'll put up points because of that.
He didn't do much against Jacksonville. Like, he didn't come off the board.
He had one target, yeah.
Right. But here's the thing. By the time he got in the game, really, it was over.
Here's the thing, though. How many snaps would you say he played percentage-wise? If you had to guess, Mecole Hardman.
25.
78.
Holy wow. That's a good thing, though.
Yeah. No, that's
like,
insane.
I like that a lot. He only got one target. That's not his fault.
Week one, what I'm saying is, week one, he's a 21-year-old rookie receiver, and I know Tyreek Hill was out, but he's still going to be out for the next 6 to 7 weeks.
Yeah, and that's roughly 6 to 7 weeks of him carving out a role.
He got 78% of the work. If he plays that amount, probably going to go up. But if he plays 78%, he'll be fine. This was his first game in the NFL. He's only 21. Yeah, he only got one target.
And he's playing Jacksonville. Like, I understand the Chiefs carved up Jacksonville, but they got talented defensive backs.
Oh, absolutely. That's EJ Boye that he would have been on all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's no joke. Yeah.
No.
So, I think his potential is very high.
I think I actually prefer him over John Ross and John Brown.
I agree.
Just because of upside.
And even Hollywood and him, like,
it's close.
I give Hollywood the edge.
Right.
But Mecole Hardman could be.
Hollywood has more full season right now. Because so we know Tyreek's coming back.
The thing is, like, Hollywood Brown's. Okay, by the way, we should be saying Marquise because that's what he's going to be in your waiver wire.
Yeah, but, like, Hollywood's
fine.
No,
I understand that. But when we're, like, people might not know that.
You may just need to name the thing.
And we can't just say Hollywood Brown and be like, oh, Brown. No, there's 17 guys on the list named Brown.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Marquise Brown has more full, like, potential just because he's the number one receiver on his team. Like, he has all the opportunity, despite the fact that he only got 14 snaps. He's better than every single receiver on the roster.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. I put him on here because not of what he did last week, but what is going to happen. He's a guy you take a chance on. He's a guy that's going to get a lot of value as weeks go on. So guess on him early, you know?
Okay, DJ Shark. He's in year two.
Just Shark.
Did I say Shark again?
Yeah, you said Shark.
Can we call him that?
Shark would be cooler, We're going to go with that. Okay,
so if you're going to pick him up, it's going to be C-H-A-R-K.
But he's
a
Shark.
We're going to call DJ Shark. Gardner Minshew is number one target. What else could you want?
Not Nick Foles' number one target, to be honest. So I prefer Gardner Minshew's number one target.
Right, and he went 4 for 4, caught all 4 receptions. He played in 71% of snaps. And those 4 receptions turned out to be 146 yards and a touchdown. Here's the thing. I think he's solid. I don't think I would pick him up. Because here's the thing. What do people do in week one? They overreact.
Right.
We try and figure out what is sustainable and what is not.
DJ Shark. No, Shark.
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
Do you think 36 yards per target and 36.5 yards per catch is reasonable? Is that sustainable?
No.
No. I wouldn't say so.
No. And I also think DeeDee Westbrook's still a better option in that offense.
Yeah, I think once, without Nick Foles throwing the slot every play, it hurts him tremendously, I still think he
once Minshew figures it out, I mean, he got put into that game.
Once
just,
he figures it out, that guy played like a Hall of Famer.
No.
I'll throw it out there.
Hall of Famer for the one. Anyway.
88% completion percentage.
His one incompletion was a pick or something stupid. Did he have one or two incompletions? He had one.
I'm not quite sure. I know he had way more pass attempts than most people think. Hold on, let me check.
He had 20. Anyways, DJ Shark.
22 for 25. 2 touchdowns and a pick.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like him a lot, so that's fine.
I thought he was good in college, and I was kind of surprised he was a 6th-round pick. I thought he was more of a 4th-round pick. But he played in the Pac-12, whatever. We don't have to get into that. Okay, Terry McLaurin. How do we feel about Terry McLaurin?
I love him.
Really?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, I think he's the... I mean, depending on how long Tyreek Hill is actually out, Mecole Hardman has a chance to be the second best rookie receiver this year. But
wow. Really? You think so?
Mecole Hardman?
Terry McLaurin.
I was getting there. Wait.
Oh, so
Hollywood's number one to right. me. People are overreacting on DK already, so I'm just going to let them enjoy that.
Right.
Terry McLaurin could be the number two fantasy receiver for rookies.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. If you've seen the Redskins team, they don't have many people to throw to.
Not a lot of weapons.
At all.
No.
Terry McLaurin, he got open a lot.
He's a very skilled player.
And I don't know if you saw any of the game. So he was going right down the middle of the field. Case mm-hmm. Keenum overthrew him. He had another 80-yard touchdown or something coming his way if Case Keenum didn't overthrow him. He has game-breaking speed, which is why I think he's going to be overlooked, because he's on a Redskins team that is not attractive even a little.
Here's what I'll say. I don't think he's going to be the 13th wide receiver in PPR, which is what he was in week one. He got 5 receptions for 125 yards. I don't think he's going to be 25 yards per catch, but he's a deep threat. So 17 yards per catch, that's a real possibility. And as you said, he's a burner. He's a deep threat guy. I think he will have value, but he's one of those guys that you can pick him up. I wouldn't play him.
No, certainly wouldn't play him. He's definitely a wait and see.
Absolutely.
But Case Keenum has had this ability of making fantasy relevant wide receivers the past few years. Last year, Emmanuel Sanders was a baller.
And also, for what it's worth, let's do the snap percentage game again.
Okay.
What do you think? This one's important.
81.
93.
Ho, he's a starter.
Yeah, he's the wide receiver one. You don't have to.
That's why he's worth it.
But I'm aiding your point.
Right, right. He plays, the thing about him is he plays the inside and outside. And again, with the Case Keenum thing, he made Emmanuel Sanders relevant again last year. And I don't know if you know this, Adam Thielen's good year.
Yeah.
Good year.
Yeah.
Case Keenum was at the helm.
That's a good point.
So don't sleep on Case. Well, sleep on Case in fantasy,
but
get McLaurin. I'm telling you, I think I believe in the guy. 7.3 owned, so like he's out there.
All right,
I can't believe he's owned that much, but that's fine.
Tight ends. All right, Darren Waller. Everyone loves him because of Hard Knocks. He's owned in 26.8% of leagues. I think honestly he's solid, but
I think he's a starting tight end in fantasy, week in and week out. There's not many options on that team that excite me more.
I think he's a low end tight end one. He could.
Yeah,
I think
that's
a ceiling.
That's still a starter though.
I think like tight end 9 to 12 is his range. Like potential.
Yeah,
his potential
yeah.
though. Like I
absolutely.
Think, yeah, and so I think he can do what he did yesterday, but I'm not rushing to pick him up. I will say, don't overreact to some of the other things that happened. Like if you have Vance, don't cut Vance for Darren Waller right now. We're going to get to a name that's an option you have to make. That's a possibility. Yeah. But Darren Waller, he's solid. He'll be all right. I don't know. I think just don't overreact. Because there's a lot of people that, like, good tight ends.
The biggest thing you could do is fantasy week one is not overreact.
Yeah.
And that's what so many people do.
Right.
Like, just try to avoid that the best way you can.
Another point we should add about the waiver wire pickups is don't clear your whole bench for these guys, because half of these guys are going to flame out in 2 weeks.
Right, unless you get the right ones. Good job.
Yeah. So our last player.
I love this guy.
T.J. Hawkinson.
This guy is an athlete. He's a legitimate athlete at the tight end position.
If you look at his like athletic score, like it's like 99th percentile.
He had a lot of good comparisons coming out of school. And when the Lions picked him, I was a little scared because the Lions have had terrible success at being
Eric Ebron.
Good with tight ends. Yes, Eric Ebron.
He was compared to Gronk quite a bit.
And, yeah, that's a good comparison, I hear.
That's what you want.
And Matt Patricia tried to trade for Gronk last year. Didn't get him, but he tried.
So here's the thing is, I'm not super thrilled typically with rookie tight ends. We've talked about that. Don't draft rookie tight ends. And he's owned in 30% of leagues. I will say, after watching him play, I think there was a lot of busted coverages. He played the worst team in the league. Some of those plays were just handed to him, like the touchdown and some of the other plays that he made. But I do think if you have someone like an Austin Hooper or David Njoku, that's a guy you could go for. And I know those two examples had fine week ones.
We got some breaking news.
How big?
I mean, it's a big name. not big.
Okay, let's hear it.
The New England Patriots have traded Demaryius Thomas.
What?
To the New York Jets.
Oh, I hate that.
For a 6th-round pick.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah.
Okay, that doesn't really...
They're going to cut him. So,
God, I feel value. Like they should have just kept him, because somebody's going to get hurt.
And I mean, there's not enough to keep him, though. That's the problem.
Well,
you have too many wide receivers, and you're not going to cut Jacoby Myers, I guess.
I mean, they have 6 safeties, so they could have just cut one of those. Well, and then
yeah, don't test Bill on his safeties. That's one thing he'll never get rid of. Back to the, I just wanted to put that out there. I mean, you want a breaking news? That's the thing I could give you.
I wouldn't pick him up yet, just for the record. It doesn't change Jameson Crowder's value.
Absolutely not. On TJ Hockenson, I think he has the potential to be a very good fantasy tight end.
Yeah.
Again, like you said, he played the Cardinals week 1. That was a weird game overall. Yeah, we don't really know.
I need to see more. I think if you're in like a dynasty or whatever, he's obviously already rostered and all that stuff. Yeah. But I do think if you have him in a dynasty, you should be super excited.
If you're in a redraft like most people,
right,
he's worth a look, especially if you struggle to tight end. Again, don't cut Vance McDonald. Like, he's the main person that people are going to want to cut week 1. Don't cut him.
Mm-hmm.
But if TJ Hockenson's available and you have a spot, why not?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to play him.
Just see what happens.
Yeah, and then you'll have a tight end for the year.
And he's facing the Chargers next week, so that's like a solid test. Like,
yeah.
That's right in the league average
without Derwin James.
Right.
That helps.
So if this isn't a Cardinals situation where it's if he dominates. Right.
That's a real team.
Like, if he went, like, if he was playing the Giants the next week, I'd be like, well, that still doesn't really prove much. But anyway, that's our waiver wire pickups.
It's a big week 1. Like, week 1, that's the most waiver people by far. This was bigger than usual, though.
Right. So, okay, we're going to talk about, you want to talk about our league real quick?
Sure.
Okay. So, in our league of record, obviously I won.
Sure.
Yeah. What did you do? Did you
win? I lost.
You lost.
David Montgomery?
That's too
not
bad.
Great.
That's too bad. That's super team.
So, I didn't think I had a super team, but that's fine.
No, we talked about it. You had a
super team. I had a super team. You did.
Yeah, but...
Anyways. Problem being...
What happened?
David Montgomery not being good was hurtful.
Detrimental.
Yeah. And we're going to get to David Montgomery later.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, tough week 1 loss. Josh Jacobs, good.
Yeah,
I didn't have him. I played against him. He's the reason I lost. Yeah. Josh Jacobs is the real deal.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, he's the only running back on that team, so that helps.
That always helps.
Okay, so I obviously won. Really not a lot to talk about.
I have 7 leagues, so when I went 5-2. This week.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So Jared Goff, he just kind of wanted to hurt me, but I was facing Aaron Rodgers, so that helped. Lev Bell, he was cool for me.
Lev Bell's awesome.
Again, Devontae Adams wasn't helpful, but...
I had a point about Le'Veon Bell that we're not going to get to after this, so I want to make the point now. Him being able to be good while the Jets still lose, as a Patriots fan, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because, hey, if I have Le'Veon Bell, which I do on a fantasy team, it's good to know that he can still be very good on their football team. He's such a good receiver, it's ridiculous.
It was one of those ones we had to do. That was one of our biggest risk factor articles when you wrote about Le'Veon Bell, and it was because people didn't know what to do with him, and we said he would be fine.
I said he's a first-round pick, no doubt, because Le'Veon Bell, as much as people hate to hear it, especially in Pittsburgh, is a very good running back.
Yeah.
Like, he is top talent.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we just want to talk about that real
quick. Oh, and he didn't miss a snap. That was my favorite stat.
I
was like, he just missed 20 months.
Yeah, everybody talked about how Montgomery was going to spell him.
They were like, we're going to ease him in.
Yeah,
he's going to play every single snap in the game.
All right, so starts of the week real quick. I want to talk about some of my favorite guys. We talked about don't chase the points. Dak Prescott got like 44 points. So I would normally be like, hey, guys, let's calm down here. Like, you had a great week. Don't expect that every week. Right? That's typically what I go for. However, you can play him again because he's playing. Who is he playing?
Who?
Dak. Oh, the Redskins. Thank you. Okay. Thank you to myself.
You're welcome.
He's playing the Redskins. He's going to score.
There you go. There you go.
I know we
there
you put go. All of that. We're not going to.
No, we no. Say that we we're going to cut it.
Yeah. All right. So the reason we're going to do three quarterbacks is because we're streaming options.
Patrick Mahomes. I'm just, sorry.
Yeah, if you have Patrick Mahomes, play him. No. Well, yes.
Definitely play.
Yeah.
That we would be a bad show to tell you not to.
It's Josh Allen scared people because he started the game with -5 points. Okay, whatever.
Come on.
Yeah, he ended up with a decent game.
Did he get like 17 or something?
I think it was like 12.
Yeah. Well, think about it without the -5.
Right. If he had just knocked 17 at the first, he had 17 week. Points. All right, so he's playing the Giants next week.
Oh, that's going to be a good game for him.
And the good news is that even if he does throw it to the defenders, they'll drop it. So.
Yeah, because he threw it so hard, even though they did catch it multiple times.
No, but the Giants aren't going to be able to catch it.
Oh, right, because the Giants have literally the worst defense in football. It's not even close.
Yeah. Well,
no, like, they're so untalented.
Really? Because Miami didn't put up much of a fight.
Yeah, that's true. That's pretty close. Rashad Jones is good. I can't think of anyone on the Giants. I'm having a tough time. I guess Janoris Jenkins, but he's bad.
It goes with Jabril Peppers.
Oh, they do have Jabril Peppers.
Yeah.
All right. Sure.
He's actually decent.
Both bad defenses.
Yeah.
Okay? Okay. And the other option, your favorite option of the year.
Matty Snapback. This is my guy. Matty Snapback is back. He's literally back. Like, his back is not broken anymore. His back is, like, legitimately now back. And so...
That's a good thing to have back.
Yeah. A huge part. And so, he's playing the Chargers. And my point is just to say I'm not worried at all.
No. The Chargers got destroyed by the Colts, fantasy-wise.
I feel like destroyed is super wrong.
No, but like, if you had the Chargers defense, you weren't happy at all.
Because
the players on the Colts dominated.
Yeah.
T.Y., great week. Marlon Mack, great week. Jacoby Brissett did fine.
He's a quarterback.
He did fine. You're not starting him in fantasy.
He played four quarters of football.
And I think there's a possibility the Chargers take an early lead, which only means Matty Snapback has to throw. Even though maybe they learned to give Kerryon Johnson the ball. Maybe that's what we do this week. Maybe we don't just throw the ball all week because you know what? Chargers have a good passing defense.
Matty Snapback.
I like catches. I will take catches for Kerryon Johnson.
True, yeah.
I will sing the praises of Kerryon Johnson till I die.
I'm pretty sure he did get like 16 carries, though.
There are people watching.
Actually, yeah, he got exactly 16, except 3.1 carry?
Not good. Not good. He started off the game pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's
I'm
fine.
I'm not worried yet.
I'm not worried. It's week one. It's overreaction week. Yeah. Come on. Well, sure.
It's week one.
Okay. On to the running back. Speaking of overreaction, Sony Michel got 1 point.
Not great.
No. Especially when the Patriots win 33-3.
I believe he had 15 carries, 14 yards.
Yeah, bad. Bad.
That's not what you want.
Bad.
You want at least one per carry.
Bad.
Give me one per carry.
Bad.
Yeah.
Very bad. But. He plays Miami this week.
Yeah, so.
A team that Mark Ingram had 100 yards on 14 carries against.
Also.
And two touchdowns.
Also, he looked great in the preseason.
Yeah, Sony Michel's fine.
He's fine. I'm not worried.
No.
Do I sound worried?
That's why I'm saying he's the start of the week at the running back position.
If I'm saying it so many times, I'm clearly not worried.
Right. Sure.
If I was worried, I wouldn't say it a bunch.
Yeah, you wouldn't even say it at all. You would be so worried, you wouldn't say anything.
I feel so good about Sony Michel.
Awesome. He's going to score 3 touchdowns this week.
5.
Okay. All right. He's getting 4.
Moving on. DJ Moore. I feel great.
Okay. Well, DJ Moore is actually good. DJ Moore did good last week. He had like...
As a Patriots fan, I feel like he's going to be a serviceable running back.
Okay. Moving on to DJ Moore.
Right.
DJ Moore had 12 PPR points, I believe, in a game where Cam Newton was not good at all. Like, atrocious. Like, the only quarterback worse than Cam Newton last week was probably Jameis. And guess what? They're playing each other this week.
12.6 points.
Good job. Which makes the point of why I believe DJ Moore will have a very good week against Tampa Bay.
7 for 76 is a great game for him. He got 10 targets. He was in the, you know, people were talking about, like, who would get the, like, work. I don't care who gets the work. He's on the field for 94% of the work.
Right.
Snaps. So he's going to have plenty of value.
He got a lot more looks than Curtis Samuel.
Right. And so,
you know why?
He's good.
Because he's more talented.
Ouch.
I like Curtis Samuel.
Yeah.
But I mean, DJ Moore is more talented.
I think DJ Moore is more upside. More.
DJ Moore. More. Yeah. We said more twice.
Did you do that on purpose?
Yeah, no. I wish I was that clever. All right, moving on.
You're not really that clever at all.
No, if I was, I'd be in trouble.
No, you're not even smart, I'd say. Okay. All right, moving on.
Cuts of the week.
No.
Nope, we're doing cuts of the week first because they're boring.
Fine. All right, Darryl Henderson, let's get rid of him.
Yeah, get rid of him.
I do think that's one we should talk about because it's like one of the, like we talked about it already, but it's like he's got no role right now.
No role.
3 weeks.
Not even a little role.
And here's the thing. If Todd Gurley gets hurt tomorrow, I still
don't think he has match value.
He's rosterable. You have to have. Like, right. He's got to be on someone in your league.
That's like Josh Reynolds when Cooper Kupp got hurt.
Right. It's just one of those.
But like you know, he's not going to be good.
I've really fallen on him. I don't think he's as talented as people think he is. Also, like this is a weird one, but people, especially in leagues I were in, were really interested in T.J. Yeldon because he was the once LeSean
third
McCoy
down
got
back
hurt,
possibly.
Well, I mean, LeSean McCoy got traded. Everybody was like, who's going to be the guy? T.J. Yeldon had 4 snaps, so you can get rid of him and never play him again. And, you won't have to worry
about it. You
can
cut Frank Gore, too, by the way, if you some reason have him. Just don't
you
have
can,
him.
You can, yeah. I mean, he'll get the work, though. Like
Singletary's filthy, though.
Oh, absolutely. He's the guy to own. I mean, thankfully, I have him.
I do, too.
Yeah, you have him in my league. I have him in the money league. Yeah.
Anyways, mine is pretty simple. Dolphins running backs. I almost just did Dolphins.
We debated whether it
like,
was Dolphins.
We were like, wide receiver might have a little value. Little.
Okay, here's the thing, though. Could you really cut Kenyon Drake?
I could cut Kenyon Drake. There's a reason I didn't draft him anywhere, because I would have not wanted him. To me, his value was round 12 or later. That's how much I didn't want him. I have Kalen Ballage on the leash because he was here's the reason. He was going round, 14 or later.
Right.
So I was like, I'll take a chance.
Yeah.
No, right. Cut the Dolphins.
I agree with everyone except for Kenyon Drake. I do think you have to hold on to him.
The thing is, though, the Dolphins are really bad.
No, absolutely, but he'll get carries. I guess. And the other thing is,
they'll never be in a position to run the ball.
He's a good pass catcher, though.
I guess.
It's better than Kalen Ballage.
I'm still just saying cut them.
Yeah, I mean, you could.
Just get rid of everyone.
I think you can trade Kenyon Drake. Not this week, but down the
line. If Kenyon Drake has a decent game, trade his ass.
Absolutely.
Oh, I can't say that.
You can.
We're not on air.
Yeah.
I can say that. Trade his ass.
Okay. No, you know what? Trade all of them. Not just his ass. Trade the whole thing.
I would like to try to do that on ESPN. Can you just trade Kenyon Drake's ass? Try it.
All right.
You have him.
I'd love to trade Kenyon Drake. I would love, just so I didn't cut him, to trade him for someone that sucks that I could cut and pick up somebody else.
Cause It would. But yeah, don't. Yeah. You don't need a Dolphins running back on your roster anymore.
Anywho, let's talk about going fishing, as we like to say, which is we're just fishing for trade targets. We're just throwing that bait.
Have you ever went fishing?
I've been fishing.
Yeah, me too in fantasy football because that's what we're doing right now. God.
Have you ever been actually fishing?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, it's a good time. No, it's not. Super boring.
Yeah, it's really
boring.
I enjoyed
it when I was young.
Well, I'm not young anymore. I'm old.
No, you're basically dead. All right, let's move on to the best trade targets following week one.
Wow.
Okay, David Montgomery.
I feel like this should be number one. Because David Montgomery, if you watch the Thursday night game, he was awesome. He just didn't play a lot.
He's so good.
Like, every touch he had, I was like, oh, boy. Because I was playing him in, like, multiple leagues against him. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know if I want him to do good or bad.
Right,
I don't know how to feel right now. And then, like, he got 5 points, like, instantly. And then they were just like, you know what? We're in crunch time. Let's put in Mike Davis. We'll be fine.
They just said, you know who I love right now? Like, Mike Davis.
Mike Davis, like, actually good sometimes.
Yeah.
But, like, come on. you were singing the praises of David Montgomery going into game one. And what do? You give him the least amount of snaps by far.
Yeah, absolutely.
A very talented running back. And if you could trade for him right now, because I can guarantee you there are people that own him very low on him right now, go get him.
Yeah, I think especially with rookies, it's a lot easier to trade for them because people are we've never seen him do well.
He
played one game, he was bad, he's bad.
Like, just hope, like, someone in your league was like, just take this guy because there's not a better running back there. Like, that's what you hope here.
Yeah. and what I love, personally, about how they managed that game right there was they just went, you know what? Hold on, how many points do we have? 3? Okay, how many? What does Mike Davis do? 3.8 a carry? Yeah, send him in. Let's go with that. With the talented rookie, not keep him here. I want him here.
Tariq Cohen didn't get a single carry. I thought that was impressive.
Yeah, I know. Well, he basically
he was. By the way,
Why?
He's not. He's a good receiver.
I agree. They basically put him in the slot, but I still think.
I mean, if you can. I mean, Mike Davis should not lead your team in carries. All right, moving on.
Okay, Devonta Freeman, this one was mine. He was 8 for 19, didn't do good at all. His line is so, so bad.
He got outscored by Ito Smith.
Yeah, and it, well, here's the
not
thing.
Not by a lot, but he got outscored by Ito.
This isn't the guy I'm excited for like I would at David Montgomery, but it's one of those guys where it's like, right now, why not send an offer for, I don't know, if you have someone like, I'm trying to think of a guy, like A.J. Brown.
Right.
That's, I mean, I don't know if they would do that, but it's one of those ones you just throw out there. I think he'll be okay. I will say his line has got to figure some things out. I don't love Devonta Freeman right now, but it's one of those, people would lower on him than usual anyway.
Yeah.
He only played 2 games last year, so you can get him for an outrageous price in all likelihood.
Oh, absolutely. He's definitely, that was, you're the one that put this on the dock, and I was like, that is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Because he could be an RB2 for you probably if you trade for him. Yeah. So.
Carry on, Johnson.
You put this one on there, but it's the
he's
layup.
He's one of our guys. Like, he's one of our collective guys.
Carry on Johnson is very good.
So talented.
He can do everything.
Yeah.
That's what people need to understand. Like, I understand he had a stink of a week. Not good at all. Like, 7 points. Not great. Against the Cardinals. Bad.
Yeah.
Very bad. But here's the thing. Carry on Johnson, depending on games, this was the game script for him to dominate, and they just didn't give him carries until the very end of the game when the Cardinals knew that he was going to run. I was like, great, why don't you just use him the whole game?
Right.
I think he's going to be more utilized week after week after week now because, look it, they tied.
Right.
And they really didn't utilize their main back, who I think is probably their best offensive player.
It was just a weird game. It didn't go the way they wanted it to. They didn't get to establish the run. It was a strange game, and that's here's the thing. I don't care what happened yesterday. I keep saying yesterday.
Well, there were games yesterday, just not that one. Yeah, tough.
So I don't care what happened this weekend.
Thank God, by the way.
Matt Patricia wants to run the ball and play defense because he's a defensive coordinator.
Yes.
At heart. He's a defensive coordinator that's a head
coach. And a rocket scientist.
And a rocket scientist.
Haven't been reminded that in a bit.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch the Lions game, you get at least 3 of those a game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he wants to run the ball. He wants to play defense. He believes in his defense. He's not, you know, this isn't Tom Brady out there. I love Matt Stafford. But
I love Matt Stafford, too. Well, the thing about playing the Cardinals is they have no defensive backs right now.
Yeah, so
zero.
That's the best way to attack.
See, you got to throw the ball.
Right.
And I think Kerryon is a great guy to go for because he was a question mark in some people's minds for some reason.
Absolutely.
Despite Theo Riddick moving on.
Yeah.
I believe he can be an RB2. I still think he can be a low RB1 in the future. I think he has that much potential on this team.
He was in consideration for my MVP thing, but the problem that I had was right before week 3 when everybody started drafting, his stock skyrocketed.
Oh, yeah, big
so
time.
He went from like a 4th, 5th round pick to a 3rd, and that's where I was like, that's where he should be.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so let's move on. Here's why. I put Josh Allen on this list, and I'm going to tell you why. A lot of people, he didn't have a great game.
No,
and what people do is they go with that Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen.
I can't wait to give my favorite stat, by the way.
Okay.
Continue.
Potential, they give their potential, like, they go with their QB. They get somebody like Matt Ryan. And then they get their QB2.
Gross, by the way.
Yeah. They get their QB2 and someone like Josh Allen. And then, once the waiver wire happens, they're like, well, like, I don't really need 2 quarterbacks. Let's cut this guy so I don't have to cut, like, a running back. And so what they'll do is a lot of people this week will cut Josh Allen for Hollywood Brown. That'll be a move that happens quite frequently.
Did
a lot
this
of
happen
people
to you? Like, did someone request this to you or something?
No. So what happened to me, actually, was Josh Allen got cut. I don't remember for who. Right, like a couple days before this week 1.
There you go.
Because they were going, I think, I don't know, like Hyde. It was someone gross. And they cut
Hyde
somebody.
Hyde did good this week.
Yeah, he did. He was fine. But, like, he pretty
stupidly
much
stupidly good.
He ran for 8 a carry and still only got, like, 9 points. So
10 carries.
Yeah. I think he was 8.3 a carry. 83.
That's pretty good.
I don't remember.
Who cares?
Yeah, so I think Josh Allen's going to be one of the most cut players this week, if that makes sense. And so I think if you can get him for nothing or wait till he falls, that's fine. But my point is he's going to have a fine season. He will turn the ball over, but he'll be fine. Like, because that doesn't really hurt you too bad. It's 2 points. So, yeah, he's just someone to look out for.
He was the QB1 from week 12 to week 17 last year. I'm just saying.
Pretty good.
Better than Mahomes. Better than Mahomes. You gotta include week 17 for him to be better, but he was better.
You absolutely do, yeah.
All right. James Conner.
Oh, I love James Conner.
James Conner didn't even have a bad game. Well, the Steelers had a bad game.
Yeah.
If you had a Steeler, you weren't very happy.
It's tough to run the ball down 30 points.
It's tough to run the ball against the Patriots anyways.
Yeah.
So what I liked seeing in that game was even when Jalen Samuels came in,
right,
he wasn't even used. Like, he was in there to block, because why have James Conner in there to block? James Conner is a good pass catcher and a rusher. He's still an RB1. You go get him right now, because this is probably going to be the Steelers' worst offensive week this year.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I think they're going to wake up this coming week.
Got Seattle next week, and they
that should be a good battle.
400 yards, so that should be fine for James Conner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to talk about Mike Evans, and I got a story for this one. So Mike Evans got, two catches?
Two catches. He was sick going into the week.
Yeah, so that's what people don't realize. A lot of people who haven't, talked about that. That's really kind of flew under the radar. He only played 86% of snaps, which is kind of low for one of the best receivers in the league. He was 2 for 5, 28 yards. Combination of him having the flu and Jameis Winston having one of the worst games he's ever played.
You could have just said Jameis Winston being Jameis Winston.
But I mean, the scary thing is that could happen again. The flu will be gone. So
Chris Godwin did good.
Good?
Yeah, 14 points.
Okay. All right, so Mike Evans, this is how much people are overreacting. In our money league, this is for $1,000.
Not ours. This.
Not his. Yeah, mine. Me and my roommates.
His other one.
So this isn't my main league, but this is one of my roommates in that we co-own. And I was offered Mike Evans for Josh Gordon. Because Josh Gordon had a good week. Disregarded the fact that Antonio Brown is coming to town today. Just forgot about that. And just said, you know what? Here's Mike Evans. And I was like, thank you. I'm already the favorite to win this league. I already scored the most points in this league. Week one, I will add Mike Evans to my roster for a guy that I already had Edelman, so I didn't want those two together anyway.
Yeah.
The only reason I had Josh Gordon is because, like I said, we drafted early in that league.
All I can say is good luck getting that to go through.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if that's going to go through, but that's how much people are paying.
Right.
And so,
I mean, did you watch Jameis?
He's really bad.
More because of Jameis than Mike Evans, say the least. But yeah, Mike Evans,
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys you can convince somebody to.
You go get him right now.
Yeah, that's one you make offers for immediately. You find someone that's tilting.
Right.
And there's always that one guy that freaks out.
And the last trade option here is going to be the complete opposite of Mike Evans in a sense. Cooper Kupp, he's back. He's healthy. He had a fine game. He had 7 catches for 40 something yards.
Mm-hmm.
Not something he usually does. Not what he does. That's probably going to be his floor by far whole season, because he's Goff's favorite guy. People completely forget that.
Yeah.
I think you can go get Cooper Kupp right now before he booms, because I think Cooper Kupp is a top 20 receiver this year. I really do. I think he's a top 20 receiver. I think he's better than Brandon Cooks this year.
Yeah, I had him in my top 20. I had him.
I think he's just behind Robert Woods.
Yeah, I think I did too. I think that's exactly how I had him. So, I had all three of them back-to-back.
Right, they're all close. But I think you can go get Cooper Kupp now before he really gets healthy, fully healthy, ready, back in the offense. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be massive for a lot of championship winning teams. He's not going to be the fantasy MVP, but he's going to be a wide receiver you definitely want on your team.
All right, now let's talk about players to move who had big week ones that aren't sustainable, because these are the guys you're going to trade away to get these studs.
Right.
Right now, if you trade DeSean Jackson for Mike Evans,
good job.
That's a ridiculous trade, but for them, they're like, whoa.
I just got DeSean Jackson?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
wow, what was he on when he said that? Is that the voice of the rest of the league?
Yeah. Holy shit. Like DeSean Jackson. You know when the last time he was good in fantasy? When he was in Philly.
I was going to say.
The last time.
Yeah.
It's been like 5 years.
You know what, though? He had that real good stint with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
DeSean. He did. DeSean could be decent this year, a good flex play all year. But I mean, Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson. Point
is you can get like. Right now, you can leverage him to get somebody great.
Right. Oh, my God. DeSean Jackson? Come on. So, yeah. Trade him. I mean, you skipped over the guy I really wanted to yell about, but that's fine.
Yeah.
DeSean Jackson? Come on. Mike Evans? Come on. Who's Mike Evans? Oh, yeah. Derrick Henry. Yeah, Derrick Henry stinks.
Okay.
He doesn't stink.
He's a low-end
But
RB2.
You're probably in a PPR league, right? Most people, or half.
Yeah.
Half or full.
If you're in standard, shut this off.
Yeah, just stop listening. We can't help you anymore.
We don't like you.
Oh, I definitely don't like them. Yeah. Anyways. Derrick Henry had a huge game to follow his huge end of the season last year.
Yep.
Without his 75-yard screen pass that the Cleveland Browns just fell asleep on.
Yeah.
14-point week.
Yep.
Because he doesn't catch passes. That was just a perfect play for them. He didn't catch pass. There was a screen pass that he just took all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could trade him for Kerryon Johnson, you do it right now. Right now. Like, this is the reason Derrick Henry is in the conversation.
Such a realistic and unbelievable trade to pull off.
And this is the type of trade that wouldn't be vetoed.
No.
Because they'd look at Derrick Henry and be like, oh, dude, he's nasty. Dude, he's nasty. Derrick Henry, come on. And they're like, Kerryon stinks.
Derrick Henry.
And you look at Kerryon Johnson, you're like, this guy stinks. What, 8 points against Cardinals? Yeah, he stinks. Trade Derrick Henry now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get Kerryon Johnson, congratulations.
Right.
You're gonna probably win the league because I'm hoping your RB1 isn't Derrick Henry.
I will say, slight disclaimer, you don't have to move Derrick Henry. It's just if you're going to do what we're talking about here, if you're going to trade.
Right.
That's a great person that will actually get the deal done.
I mean, I'm saying he had another great game to start the year.
He's not like some of these guys on the list.
To me, his usual, like, where he's going to average is 10.
Sure. 10 to
15. He was really bad last year until those last couple weeks.
No,
I understand, like, that they're going to focus on him more.
He has to break a playoff or not.
75-yard receiving touchdown.
When he does break them away. Like, I don't even want the points.
Yeah, I was like, this guy's like really fast, but he looks wicked
slow. Really
slow,
yeah. Okay, moving on. DeSean Jackson.
But we already talked about DeSean Jackson. I need him.
Yeah, he had a good week.
But trade him.
But I think he has value with Wentz. I think he does have weekly value.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like, that's a guy that you could, you know, maybe pony up and get him.
Man, big name.
Yeah, maybe throw him into like a. If you traded Derrick Henry and DeSean Jackson, you could probably get a James Conner.
I would trade Derrick Henry and DeSean Jackson for like, well, you said Saquon. James Conner. That was, yeah, I sure would.
I would do that.
Saquon's on a low. He only got 20 points this week. Yeah. This is your week to get Saquon.
To me, it was the lowest week. Maybe his bye week is probably the time to target.
Yeah, him. Yeah. Good luck getting Christian McCaffrey though. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Okay. John Ross, another one that I'm more than okay with trading, but you got to trade him for the right guy. I think he's a fine.
I would trade him for literally anything that's a starting caliber. Right. Anything.
Yeah, so he was okay.
Chris Godwin, give me that.
Oh, absolutely. even if you could do a Ross for Boyd, I'd like that too.
Oh, absolutely. Or Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
I brought up Cooper Kupp.
That's someone you could easily get for John Ross.
I mean, people are going to listen to that and be like, what league are you in? I'm just saying this is possible. I know I'm not going to be able to do this, but you might be able to.
Yeah.
Like, I know this will not happen in one of my
leagues. Local league, if you're just in like a normal, even money leagues. Like people
normal
are still
league with people that just like doing fantasy football, but like aren't diehards like the people that are listening. Right.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, you can make this move happen, especially with DeSean Jackson.
Yeah.
Going to keep going back to DeSean Jackson.
My
here.
Favorite one, and I don't know why you have him. He's only in like 5% of leagues, but A.J. Brown, he had a great performance, right? He was awesome, wasn't he?
He was.
Three receptions. Like, this is not a guy that is going to have weekly value.
Here's the thing. He's a talented guy.
Absolutely.
But people forget.
You know who's not, though?
Marcus Mariota.
There he is.
Not good. We have two Titans on this list. If Corey Davis did good, he would also be on this list. If there's another Titan that did good, they'd be on this list as well.
And he only played 43% of the snaps.
Yeah, he's not a starter.
No.
Yet.
I mean, he will be.
He should be. He's a big dude.
When Corey Davis is out there, that guy stinks.
All right. But anyway, if you have him, you can trade him. You think you get something for him. That's another guy you could get Cooper Kupp for.
Cooper Kupp.
Yeah. TJ Hockenson, you might be able to get a lot for right now because people are expecting him to be the next Gronk, the next Kelce.
Well,
the expectation for Hockenson is that he was a top 10 pick in the real draft.
I have a point for this.
Okay, you seem like you were steaming.
No.
You needed to get it.
No, this is a good point, though. So people in league last year, I know, a few leagues, they had Kelce or Ertz, one of those two, and George Kittle, because George Kittle was a pickup.
Right.
TJ Hockenson could be that this year.
Right.
Not going to be that good, but a very good starting tight end that some team is going to need, because I firmly believe you need a good tight end to make it far most of the time. Depending on how the rest of your team is.
Yeah, no.
If you pick an Evan Ingram and he turns out to be a breakout,
right,
you have a good chance of making it far.
Because of the positional difference, absolutely. Right. Yeah, so okay. So that was our show. Can we just bang it out? Did you just hit yourself with a microphone?
No, my tooth is in pain now.
Oh. Good.
I think it was talking about DeSean Jackson.
DeSean
Jackson.
Okay.
Oh boy.
Alright, well you do the outro.
Oh, okay.
How much pain you are, fight through it.
Yeah, that's fine. This was the Fantasy Football Hub.
Okay.
I'm Scott Edwards.
I'm Scott Neville.
And we will see you next week. Yes?
Next week.
Next week.
Bye.